on this definitely wintry evening. This is the December. It was one of those ER months. December 19th meeting of the Public Works Advisory Board. And it is now called to order and starting as we usually do. And we'll start down on that side and do the roll.
Noah Smuckler.
Roger Ewing.
Dan Gleason usually sits in this chair. However, he notified us 3 weeks ago he had a commitment that prevented him from attending.
Gene Wilsbach.
Bill Olson.
And Barry Dorfman, chair. And has been our custom, we will have a moment of silence. You counted on that. We would just go through announcements, written communications, consent calendar, which is simply approval of the minutes, and then go to new business. So it wouldn't be much of a delay, but I think it gets what some people watch the front end of the meeting for, and yet yours would still be quite in the beginning. Is that okay with everyone on the board? And we'll try and pay better attention to that. This is a bit different than that time when we didn't mention an item at all. You know, we have more latitude. So with that change, the agenda, I think, is accepted. And then moving on to announcements, I already announced about Dan Glassman. I also want to announce that mid-January, I forget the exact date, is the deadline for applications which you submit to the city clerk, the 18th? 18th. Submit to the city clerk for vacancies on any board or commission. And the Public Works Advisory Board will have a total of 3 vacancies. And one has no incumbent, and don't count on all the incumbents necessarily reapplying. Although the city clerk can give you information on that. That's my way of saying, at least please, if you look into it, if at all you've been interested in some of the work that PWEB does in relation to the life of the city, please, or not just PWEB, but look at all the boards and commissions. And the city clerk has the information on not just PWEB, but Planning Commission, Recreation and Parks, Harbor Advisory Board, maybe you can help me,
the promotions.
I was going to say the one that really organizes a program to get the city out, the name out. If I left out any of the boards, I'll get them all. And that's my announcement. Any other announcements? Well, moving on to written communications, the page we all got, we'll get to later, that's actually part of the presentation. There, I think Dan's letter, that exchange, which I think wraps it up, we'll put next week. There's next meeting. You know what I'm talking about? The confusion about the letter that had the pictures and that kind of thing in it?
The garbage.
That'd be the garbage company.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything from Ms. Burlingame on that, and I was hoping that.
Okay. Well, maybe it'll be next week. I thought what we're talking about is that the absent board member did write a letter about some issues around the garbage trucks, which staff I thought wrote a very good explanation of what was going on, and I thought it would be this month, but we can just have the exchange as written communications to get it into the record next month, because as I said, after we saw the staff comments on the situation, I think it was self-explanatory. but still should be in the record of actually a job well done, I thought, both on staff part and responsiveness from the contractor. We're going to skip the presentation part of public comments and presentations and now go to, which usually comes first anyway, the public comments section. And you're well familiar with the, I'll say, the flexibility with which we do these things.
Thank you, Barry. Nancy Castle, community member. I am here to, again, do my dog and pony show, so to speak, but I forgot my dog and my pony, about the fundraiser Follies, which is coming up February 23rd. It's going to be an evening of talent in Morro Bay. It is a group of us, Janice Peters, Kathy Allback, many people, the lovely Ann Reiser, being involved in putting on a talent show of the different boards and commissions, we hope, and the different departments, basically hoping that the city will do, as in the larger city, will do an event that raises money, and then that money will be used to help defray the costs that the city charges to put on the other events in town. For instance, the car show, the Harbor Festival, the Kyall get up and do what we're supposed to do without having our act fall flat on the face. Or if it does, we'll try and pick it up and make it funny. So if anybody has any questions, the other thing I'd like to put out for the community is we're looking for donations of dessert items that we can sell for exorbitant rates to increase the fundraising part of the fundraising Follies. And with that, I'll give my cell phone number, which is 441-5770. And anybody who wants to call me and get involved, I'd love to hear from them. So 441-5770. So you guys had good expressions, like you were all thinking of something you might do or talk the others into doing. So, you know, communicate among yourselves. Thank you.
Thank you. From now that I know what the topic is, did you really have a dog and a pony?
Outside.
Are there any other public comments? Okay. We will close that and go to the consent calendar, which is the approval of the minutes from our last meeting. And are there any changes at last meeting? I'm looking for the date. Well, it was the meeting we had in November, the November 14th meeting. Now I found it, because it was out of order, because we had done it. Any seconds? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, that's aye also, that's unanimous. And now we'll skip ahead to new business, which is actually going to start with the presentation on the cigarette butt cans, which had been intended to be a new business item so we could have more discussion.
I'm Ann Reisner, president of Morro Bay Beautiful, and one of the projects we do is pick up litter around town. We don't have time to pick up cigarette butts. And I have met Tim McLean from Cayucas, who has this wonderful project that we would like your approval on and acceptance of. And this is Tim.
Thank you, Ann. Good evening. Happy holidays to the board members here. My name is Tim McLean. I'm a former resident of Morro Bay. I've been in Cayucas for the last 31 years, operating my business there. I'm a jeweler in Cayucas, McLean Jewelry. And like many merchants in coastal towns, we find ourselves picking up after tourists and even locals sometimes, which is inexcusable. But a lot of the tourists that come here seem to think that cigarette butt pollution is not a problem. So mother of necessity is the is this invention right here, the Please Butt In. We have two different models. That's the Cayucas one, and we have 20 of those in place in Cayucas, and they're really making a difference. This is the Morro Bay model here, the Butt Stop, and we have a wall mount unit as well as a pole mount. We are representing Morro Bay Beautiful tonight to try and get approval for this project. We especially would like to get them along the Embarcadero and in Old Town, any of the places that have been deemed kind of pollution hotspots, wherever you have any activity, whether it's a coffee shop or a bar, nightclub, restaurant. There's always, because people can't smoke indoors anymore, they can't smoke on the beach. This problem is getting pushed out into the sidewalks. There are 2 billion cigarette butts discarded daily in the world. That's an estimate. I've never counted that many, but there's 175 million pounds of cigarette butts in the United States per year. And we have laws to try and keep this in check, but they're very seldom... people very seldom get tickets for this sort of thing, but cigarette butts are a huge problem, and they're full of lots of chemicals that people aren't even aware of. And if they were educated about this, they would probably stop doing it. So until we get people to stop smoking, we're going to try and keep them in these containers. Doesn't mean that they're maintenance-free. It's that they don't just disappear in here. They do stay in here, and they do need to be emptied from time to time. But we're going to try and get some volunteer groups to join the Please Smoldering. I was able to get these things to smolder. There was one in Cayucas that started smoldering, and that was from a earlier cap system that had too many vent holes on the bottom. So I have changed the design on that. It has just one small drain hole at the bottom right now. And the way these are serviced is this cap is pulled off, and you want to make sure you have your plastic bag under this before you pull the cap off. And that's mainly how the contents are dumped out. There's a little fire metal cap here that makes them fireproof. It's flue lined on the inside, so it has a steel flue on the inside. And I've tried my darndest to catch this thing on fire with a hairdryer underneath and simulating a Santa Ana condition. But anyhow, if anybody wants to watch the Please Butt In fire test, you're welcome to take that. I filmed it myself, yeah. We haven't done the Underwriters Laboratory project yet because we're a little short on funding for that sort of thing. It's kind of an expensive process. But I don't know if theirs would be much different than mine, so maybe watch this if you want to. And yeah, well, they're welcome to try and set this thing on fire. There's not enough oxygen here to create a fire or ignition, but if you have this thing full of cigarette butts and somebody throws a lit one in there, it is possible for them to smolder to a certain point and then it will go out. But that's all that I've been able to achieve with that. So does anybody have any questions on this? Yes, Richard? Is it Richard? I'm sorry.
It's Roger.
Roger, I'm sorry.
I think it's I've watched you give this presentation a couple of times now, and I think it's a brilliant concept, long overdue. I highly commend you and applaud. Right here in Morro Bay, just in our city government buildings, like City Hall, Public Works, Community Center, et cetera, have you gone to the city and asked if you can put one up at either one of those places, especially the community center, because I do see people coming out of there occasionally because of their location for meetings, mm-hmm. having a cigarette break. And I'm just curious whether you can get the city public works involved.
We have I think, five, or as of tomorrow, we'll have five in place in Morro Bay. We have one at the post office. That was the first one to go into Morro Bay. We thought we'd start with a federal building and then just work our way down, because that'll give us more credibility.
Well, I would encourage you to go to the city government as well, and okay. also the city organizations, Rotary, et cetera,
right.
because I see no reason why we should delay getting these up. I don't see a negative involved with this program.
Right.
It's one of the few programs that's a win-win for everybody and totally positive.
Yeah, thank you.
Unless you're a nasty smoker.
I think once, what I've noticed in Cayucos that smokers, people do walk around in Cayucos a lot that are browsing, and they do tend to have a cigarette a lot of times when they're walking around browsing. And I've noticed that smokers will kind of be drawn to these things. We're not trying to condone smoking with this, but we are trying to keep them out of the Pacific Ocean. But I've noticed that people will hang around these things and smoke, and sometimes there'll be like four guys all standing around smoking around this, so it kind of gives them a place to do it. But we're going to try more and more towns up and down the Pacific, and it's, who knows how far this thing could go. And it's a worldwide problem. Yeah.
On my list of questions, that comment you just made relates to one of them, and that's the congregation, because anything that's outside a doorway that opens and closes will put the smoke usually into, because usually it's the store will be a negative pressure to the mm-hmm. outside. Mm-hmm. It puts it into the store.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all experienced, or into the doorway, wherever it is.
Right.
So we've all experienced that right out here on the patio, where it doesn't do any good to smoke out there. It fills this up just as much. That was one concern. The other is the congregation of smoke where in a walkway.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could comment on that, those considerations.
Well, I mean, I think then... I'm not sure, but I mean, I know that on the front of this building it says you can't smoke within 20 feet of this building. Where we have these in Cayucos,
the business area.
Mm-hmm.
See, and that's really, and you don't have large frontages. Oh, and I'm talking about the
The access or the passageway through there.
Well, the size of the standard sidewalk,
mm-hmm.
so that yes, you can have it 20 feet down, but for people walking in a narrow area, if people segregate, it doesn't matter. You've helped the people who are inside by getting it 20 feet from the door, but it doesn't do anything for people using the walkway, nor can they avoid it if you think of just two parents in a stroller.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to know the experience, what thought. But
mm-hmm. Well, I always mount these on the... I guess it would be the horizontally to the gutter on a pole, so that they're not sticking out into the sidewalk area. So if somebody's if people are walking down the street,
no, I'm not worried about sticking out into the sidewalk area.
You're worried
what
about
I'm
the
worried
second
about
ha-
is
the second hand smoke.
Have people, I they will congregate.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've only noticed that once.
Okay, but. But, well, that's...
It's possible for it to happen.
That's the concern. Okay, you notice that it would be to understand that and get more information. And this mm-hmm. has to do with placement.
Mm-hmm.
You may not want it on...
certain places you probably wouldn't want
certain
one of
streets,
these.
Because many businesses don't... they can't allow smoke in there anyway.
Yeah.
So we have a concentrated set of businesses. Like we might have a Morro Bay Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you would want them. I think if you give consideration to the Embarcadero area, both by the water and the way, it just takes a lot of thought, because if they're so out of the way, they're not going to be used. It doesn't help.
Yeah.
But also you don't want people having some unpleasantness and saying, oh, I didn't like that going there. It's design issues. I support
mm-hmm.
that.
I understand that. That's a good point. One thing that that I have noticed is that it does give people, not everybody uses these things right away, and when we had 10 of them up in Cayucas, there was only a few of them that were getting a lot of use, and that was the one at the base of the pier in Cayucas, because people would put their cigarette out before they walked out on the pier, which was very thoughtful of them, as opposed to flicking it, you know, into the ocean, which was what usually happens when people walk out on to smoke out on a pier.
One of the things I'm thinking about this, and I agree that the concern of secondhand smoke is a good one. Seems like from a maintenance perspective, that is the very person that would know where cigarette butts are occurring, or in a large number, you know, in a way that's not proper as far as the disposal. So the maintenance crews of the city, you know, they probably know hot spots, areas where cigarette butts are, you know, being found in large numbers. Business owners, the janitor, the custodian. As Tim said, this is a problem that is currently ongoing, and if you can really locate these containers near those hot spots, or even better, near the areas where you'd prefer people to be smoking, it seems like you can really use these to help direct the smokers to the best possible spot and away from the spots that could cause problems, you know, with secondhand smoke and so on. So it would mm-hmm. seem like you'd want to work pretty closely with the maintenance crew if you were talking to the city and so on with businesses.
Ann has compiled a list of hot spots in Morro Bay. She has some information on that if you're interested in that. And I found that mainly it's businesses that are just sick of sweeping up the front of their business, really want one in front of their business. And it's not. I think it's far enough away from any possible drift of the smoke for it to be a problem. I haven't experienced that as far as a complaint yet on these, but it is a possibility.
Quick question: have you ever had it inspected by a fire department or a certified fire?
I showed it to Bill Radke, our fire chief, and I wanted to get his blessing before I started putting them in Cayucas, and he looked at it and didn't have a problem with it. He didn't require the state fire marshal certificate, but we intend to get that certificate at some point, because we'd like to put them on piers and on wharfs, you know, all up and down the state, because a lot of people smoke when they're fishing, and It's a huge problem for marine life, wildlife.
A really lot, and they do this every week, and they're focused on cigarette butts. So, if you know, maintenance department and stuff like that, I don't know about, but I trust their judgment, and that's where we're going to start. So, it's just.
One interjection, something mm-hmm. I want to get clarified. When you say we want to spread this all up and down the coast, who is the we?
Well, I've started this company. Ann has adopted this project for Morro Bay Beautiful. So I guess there's two of us. That makes we.
Back, please, to the question of who the cost.
Yeah. Perfect. They're $55, and we have a larger diameter one too. But I found that the smaller one is more attractive. It's just easier to maintain it. So we're just doing the smaller unit now, and that's $55. And it has three or four different diameters for pole applications, and then we have the one wall mount. One too, but that just goes on a either a brick or a stucco building like the post office in Morro Bay.
Have you thought about making a presentation to organizations comprised of businesses like the Rotary or the Merchants Association?
I have thought of that. I haven't had time.
I would
to
recommend
approach that. Yeah,
when you find the time to do so.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I found that in Cayucas, it's the senior citizens were the first ones to really make a move on it. The Lions and the Lionesses have been very supportive of this project.
suggestion would be to potentially have the video aired on the public access or the community government station, especially with, you know, maybe a little bit of a reminder, let people see it more and more so they start to recognize it as mm-hmm. they go up. Can we make a motion to...
Are we ready?
All right. Were there any other comments? Okay, go ahead, Barry.
Just a recommendation. In this mm-hmm. presentation, if you have a company that produces these mm-hmm. and sells them, I think you should be explicit about that somewhere during the presentation or at the end, because in the future, that then people who are, well, I don't know about this thing. Oh, this guy is just, it's better to have that clear now mm-hmm. than later, because people, when they buy into something, I didn't use that, but when they commit, because I think this is great, you know, want to understand what's involved. And this is a public nonprofit, private coordinated partnership or whatever. And bring that up as the course of something that
right.
can pick up steam. I think that or maybe you share your experience with other cities, but I think I would want the minutes to reflect that there's an understanding that the fire department and I think public works should be involved in sign-offs, and the city at least has to have a process in relation to the location of them, that finally the city says, no, this isn't good. Some process, and it can be simply some of the concerns I said that say, wait, we have this, wouldn't want it there during certain times, or there's foliage problems, that's fire hazard, something that then wouldn't force something potentially later to be taken out. So, and I think the city would only be too happy, because obviously they're happy with what Morway Beautiful already does, to have this and to have it be done through the people who feel they're directly going to benefit. My concern about smoke into a business, that is not good for the business, and since they'll be sponsoring it, they're not going to want to be doing that. So I just wanted to make those comments that I think could be an additional substantive context for our what I expect will be a very positive reaction to this. And that's one question: has there been any interaction with school districts?
You mean as far as them ordering them or wanting them?
I'm thinking of a more combined campaign to try and help youth not get started with smoking, but...
I think that was legal. I mean, they do it. Oh, I see, yeah. So they go to the park to smoke, maybe.
Well, I don't know. They go wherever they can find the space to smoke.
Yeah, and they probably need a place to put to dispose of their cigarette butt when they're done smoking.
We're not condoning smoking.
Yeah. We're not trying to encourage smoking. We're trying to keep the cigarette butts from polluting our environment. So I don't know how we're going to stop smoking, and hopefully we will someday. But until then, this is my solution to the problem.
I want to compliment that you've kept it focused on something that looks feasible and actually directly addresses the problem you identify.
Yeah. Thank you.
You were in the midst of starting a motion when I...
Yeah, actually, I did have another quick question for Ann. I was wondering if Morro Bay Beautiful was currently in contact with the city at all regarding
Actually, this is just step two. I met Tim. He's got Cayucas covered. Now we can put him up on PG&E poles because Tim got the permission for that. We can put him up on private businesses. What we need from you is to put him up on city poles. You know, so that we can just put them any place. We can put them on piers. And I know that it's going to be on the city council's agenda in January, and they're going to vote on it. So we just would like your approval, too.
That gives us a good context of how we can be supportive and constructive if it's going to be in their January meeting.
And Tim is very responsible, and so am I. We're not going to put them by trees. We're not going to put them every 2 inches. You know, maybe one a block or whatever.
Yeah. I would think anybody who had common sense enough to create these would also have common sense enough as to where to place them.
He definitely does.
Thank you.
I like the sweep.
Right, yeah. Some of my comments about getting this or that approval, or there's someone doesn't like something, and which is perfectly fine and sensible, and then they go to their city council person or someone on staff and say, "Did you guys look at these? There's a hell of a difference. Excuse me. There's a great difference between saying yes, we have a process where they're checked by so and so and so and so. That's the end of it." Or, well, no, we didn't. Well, you should, and there's before the city council and something, you see. It then status of complained about. So it's a preventive thing.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, so that first answer can be yes, and when those things have been checked. You know, that
also, I want to find out this is not a moneymaker.
Oh, no, no. And I understand that.
Okay.
I think it's probably a non-profit.
Very close.
Well,
yeah.
We have to buy the materials. I have to manufacture these things still, and hopefully I'll get some help at some point when we get enough orders. But for right now, I'm manufacturing them.
Yeah.
And Morro Bay Beautiful has set aside money for it. The estuary program has said they will give us money. And Sandra Beebe, who does the Mutt-Mitt program, she called me and said, if you need money. So if we identify a business and I go like I did today and say you need one because we know there's a big problem here, if you want to pay for it, fine. If you don't want to pay for it, fine. So far, everybody has paid, which is... It must be a good thing to give things away free.
Really quickly, Mr. Poucher, do you have a suggestion within staff that would be the appropriate contact for Morro Bay Beautiful? Or
actually, I would defer to Mr. Livick on the entire issue.
Yes, I'd be the contact for this. It would be something that would be placed in the right of way. We would have to permit that placement of these within the right of way. Whether that's a blanket permit for downtown, incorporate it with our existing blanket permit for placement of planters, benches, that sort of thing, or whether it would be a separate blanket permit. We would get that direction from the upcoming city council meeting.
I'd like to then clarify, is that blanket for downtown or blanket for business areas? Because there's other areas besides.
I believe it's the downtown business district.
So if there were places, say, on North Main, that would take a separate...
That's what I was asking, was that we recommend to the council.
What's the wording you have?
Tell us.
Okay. I think what...
That the PUAB board recommends to the council to work with Morro Bay Beautiful to develop a placement process for the Butt Stop program.
What about a process that waives the encroachment fees are waived?
I would think that would be a council decision.
Yeah, I would say that's a council decision. It probably would be an easy decision for them to make.
Yeah. The reason I bring it up is you limited it, a recommendation to the placement. I think we want to support the program. But that was all. But it's fine, whatever you want. Okay.
Unless the council or the board feels...
You can include the program as well as the placement.
Placement and program. Okay.
And I'll have
to let it.
Yeah.
Program and process.
Yeah. For looking at the process. Yeah. Still good with you, Bill?
Okay. So then, is there any further discussion? I think we've gotten it in. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So it's unanimous.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
Yeah, good job.
And Anne.
Shall I leave this with anybody, the DVD of the fire test? Is anybody interested in 37 minutes of really boring DVD?
Does Anne, do you have a copy of that?
There's just one copy in existence right now.
It would be nice to have a simple DVD cut to play on the government station if down the road as they start to show up. Just to maybe we can work on that for the talent show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the talent show.
Yeah, it's pretty
comical.
Yes,
that's what we'll do for the talent show. Is show that.
Tim, should I get this back to Anne or give you a call? Or
yeah, you could just get it back to Anne, and then because I can make more copies of it. But it's just a backyard test.
Okay.
Thank you very much, and thank you for giving us the opportunity to be supportive.
I really appreciate your help. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Thank you. I thought that was an excellent presentation as well, and I really want to encourage us to consider putting a presentation about what all that Morro Bay Beautiful does for us on an agenda that's coming up soon, because this is really a great organization for our city, and we need to be educated on the whole scope of what you do. This is just a little part, and this is fabulous. Thank you very much.
I will support that. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you. We now move on to the director's report, and the process is working, I think, pretty well now, where members of the board ask about specific items that they're... Well, first, we have the staff go over something they wanted to highlight, and then board members ask about specific items they think they want more information on. So,
I'd like more information about the water, the amount of water, the state water project, because it looks like we finally know what impact it will have on us, the reduction in water, and could you just talk a little more about that?
I'd be more than happy to. As you may or may not know, every year about this time, the Department of Water Resources makes a prediction on what the deliveries for the State Water Project will be for the upcoming year. Every year, they try to make a very conservative approach for the initial delivery periods, and then hopefully with climatic conditions, they raise the percentages. This year, the projection came in at 25%, which is the lowest it's been since 1977. The prediction that they made was based upon the current climatic conditions, based upon the environmental concerns that have been stated in the Delta. And the State Department of Water Resources owns the facilities. There are 25 state water contractors, and the San Luis Obispo County Flood Control and Water Conservation District, which is a portion of our county government, holds the master contract with the state. And Morro Bay, Pismo Beach, Oceano have what's referred to as subcontracts with the county. In our case, 1,313 acre-feet per year, plus 2,331 acre-feet of drought buffer, which is basically drought protection. What the county is now doing is, starting this coming year, they're going to be, on an annualized, on an annual basis, they will be selling, if you will, or transferring is the proper term, their excess entitlement. The agencies within the county have contracts for 4,830 acre-feet of what we call wet water. The drought buffer is paper water, but for wet water. And there's about 16,000 acre-feet that the county has a contract for that there are no customers. So what the county wants to be able to do is to transfer that water on an annualized basis to other agencies, whether it's the Santa Barbara County, which is the Central Coast Water Authority, or somewhere out of the area, Kern County or wherever it may be. So they're starting this new program this year. And basically what it tells us is that between our wet water contract of 1,313 and our drought buffer of 2,331 acre-feet, that results in a total effective contract or subcontract of 3,644 acre-feet per year with a 25% delivery. That knocks it down to about 911 acre-feet per year. We requested the full 1,313, so if we seek to get state water deliveries for that gap between the 900 and the 1,300, we would then purchase that water from the county out of their excess entitlement. So that's pretty much how it's playing out. This has been moving quite rapidly over a period of days, literally. It goes before the Board of Supervisors. We haven't talked about it amongst the local subcontractors yet. That meeting is the first week in January. We've talked about it within the context of the region, but not with the local subcontractors. So that goes before the Board of Supervisors in February, and we're anticipating bringing the item before the council in January. But the bottom line is, you know, can we get our full allocation or our full contracted amount of state water for calendar year 2008? Yes. Is there a possibility or a likelihood that it'll cost us additional money to do that? Yes. In the event that something else happens, and who knows what it may be, it may be that the 25% delivery projections is too high because of climatic conditions or whatever may be occurring. We are also pursuing contingency plans on the desalination facility to make sure that under even the most exigent circumstances that there will be an adequate supply for the community for 2008 and into the future. Like I said, it's right now we're just kind of, we don't have a lot of details about the subtleties of how this program is working. It just kind of hit us cold, and so we're working through some of those details at this point. And to answer Roger's question, has the extra charge been worked out? No, it has not. On the contrary, the extra charge has not been worked out.
What I was even more curious about is why, on top of everything else we've been paying for in state water, are we now being charged extra since we have insurance policies to cover extra costs? Could you explain that, please?
I'd be more than happy to.
Thank you.
When we acquired the drought buffer, which we did in two stages, we did it based upon the best information that was available at the time, and that was that under the historic record, the worst likely year we were going to see on state water deliveries was going to be about 35%. There was one year, which was 1977, where their deliveries were at 20%, but in all the other years since 1960, not a long period of time, but since 1960, deliveries have been above 35%. So that was the recommendation that we made, that the City Council endorsed, that we would provide the community with a level of protection up to that 35% delivery. Now we're faced with a situation where there's a gap. And so certainly I think, you know, part of the consideration is not only do we acquire that water to fill that gap for this year.
Funding the desal plant.
It's still cheaper.
To desal or state water?
State water. Right now we pay about $1.7 million a year for state water.
But how does that break down to acre feet?
The cost of state water is in the $1,450 range.
Per acre foot?
Per acre foot. Now, there are three components of it. The largest single component is the capital payment. We participated in a bond to construct the physical facilities to treat and deliver the water. So there's that component, which is the largest single component, which we pay for whether we accept the water or not. The second component, which is the second largest and still a significant component, is what's called the fixed operations and maintenance costs. There are those staff of the state and the county and CCWA that are there ready to treat the water and deliver the water, and the trucks and the insurance and all those things that are there, again, whether we, Morro Bay, use the water or not. The third cost, which is the smallest of the costs, is what's called the variable operations and maintenance. And that is the actual cost for moving the water through the system, running it through the treatment plant, treating it, and physically delivering it to our tanks. That's the smallest cost component, and that's really the only cost component that varies on an annual basis. It's much like owning a house. You know, you pay your mortgage, you pay your insurance. Doesn't matter whether you live there or not. The only thing that changes if you live there is you have a water bill and a gas bill. So that's, you know, that's the analogy that I use. It's the capital is the mortgage, the fixed O&M are your insurance costs, and the only thing that really changes is the variable cost. Now the approximate cost for the variable operations and maintenance for routine water, the water that we get today, is about $150 an acre foot. So
is that on top of the $1,450?
No, that's included as part of that. So really what we're talking about is, since instead of 1,300 acre feet, the county's proposing to deliver 900 acre feet. So the fixed costs stay the same, and our cost for that 400 acre feet that we don't get saves us about $60,000. Now, you get that back, you get that water back at now $160 an acre foot, and it does cost you that $64,000, but all in all, it's a matter of a couple thousand dollars difference in cost, because it's only the variable cost that we're talking about. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you. But do you happen to know how much the desal is per acre foot? Because we were running the desal plant. In November?
Yes, we did.
And do we have a cost?
Oh, I don't have total costs yet. I've not seen the electric bill. The major difference in the cost, and the desalting costs are kind of different. They have the same categories. The capital cost has been paid off. So the mortgage, we had a mortgage burning party. The fixed operations and maintenance costs, which is basically our insurance, because we don't operate the plant enough to justify us having full-time employees for plant operation. So we don't really have much in the way of fixed costs. But included in our variable costs are the cost of the chemicals, the cost of the electricity, and the cost of bringing in the contract water treatment operators. I just did get the bill for that. And for the 21 days all in all that we operated the plant, from getting it up and running it for 17 days and then doing the shutdown period, was about $21,000. So it was about $1,000 a day, plus the electrical costs that I don't have yet.
How many acre feet did we get in those 17 days?
I have that number here. I do believe I've got that. 14. No, 19. So it was about an acre foot a day.
And how many acre feet per year, since we're talking about acre feet per year of additional need, can the desal plant currently give us, and what are you planning on adding to it?
500 and some?
It's, well, if you look at just that one component, over a 20-day period, we'd produce 19 acre feet, which was about
maximum.
Oh no, that's not the maximum production capabilities. That's all we need to operate it.
Okay.
That was the extent of the production capacity that we needed to access.
About 540 acre feet a year, you could produce that.
Well, we have the physical capability under seawater conditions of producing 645 acre feet per year. It works out to, under seawater conditions, 400 gallons a minute, 1,440 minutes per day at 576,000 gallons a day for 645. Because we had that, we retired the debt service. We had the mortgage burning party for the desalter.
Currently, if I understand correctly, it's a lot cheaper to go with with desal than with state water.
No,
I wouldn't say so.
Okay.
And the reason I would say that is that out of the $1.7 million we pay for state water, about 1.6 and change of it, we're going to pay whether we take 0 acre feet or 1,000.
Oh, I realize that.
So really, the margin that we're talking about, the marginal utility, is within that variable operations and maintenance cost. We know that the water quality that the desalter produces is slightly better than state water, but we know that state water is much better than groundwater, and then desalter is that much better than groundwater. The wrinkle that we have is with the nitrate contamination, and in addition, the MTBE contamination that we previously had, that our groundwater is pretty vulnerable to quality distress. So that's one of the factors that we're looking at, is to take a portion of the desalting plant, but is to combine the seawater conversion facilities into part of the plant, and dedicate a portion of the existing facility to the treatment of groundwater. Because that's pretty much, into the foreseeable future, until we can mitigate the nitrate situation, which will, under any circumstance, be a period of years, in order to reliably be able to operate our groundwater, we are going to need treated. And we've gone past the point, the quality has degraded to the point where we really can't practically blend it to an adequate extent, particularly in the summertime.
Then the final question, I guess, is, let's say we have an emergency. State water isn't being delivered because of droughts statewide, and we need to go to the desal. It is cheaper to run the desal, but regardless, we're going to still pay that $1.7 million for state water, even though we're not getting any.
That's correct.
So on top of that, we then have to run the desal.
Correct.
The cost of water is very expensive.
That's correct.
And we are trapped into that state water contract until the 2023, I guess.
I haven't looked at the provisions to whether I don't know that we're free to exit the contract at that point, even.
Well, if desal only gives us 640 acre feet a year, we're still going to need.
We're still going to need it. We're still going to need that. Yes.
Thank you.
Well, now that $160 an acre foot to the county is really a wash, because if you don't have that water, you've got to pump it from the Choro Creek. As I recall, Choro Creek pumping was about twice that figure.
It is about twice that, but I think where the discussions are hinging right now is, in previous years, every year up to now, what the county has done is they have requested 25,000 acre feet from the state. And let's just say use a 50% delivery year for a nice, easy number. They request 25,000 acre feet, and the state says, we're cutting you by 50%. You only get 12,500 acre feet. Well, with 4,800 under contract, it makes it very easy to deliver the full amounts. And that's what had been going on. So we were taking advantage, for no cost, this excess allocation. And really, the margin, I think part of what I'm getting now is, we didn't know that this was going to happen until a number of days ago. So that's been one of the issues. The other is that if we were getting, and this is getting back to what Bill was saying, the variable cost for state water is about $150 an acre foot. So we anticipated getting 1,300 acre feet at $150 an acre foot for that cost component. So 400 of that goes away at 150, and we can get it back at 160. So really the margin is about $10 an acre foot. To me, it's more a question of timing and style than anything.
As things move along through the years, is the potential for this excess allocation cost, that the state can adjust that cost as the water supply is available. Is that true?
There are market conditions, and what a number of regional agencies, larger regional agencies, have sought to do is to get rid of the potential volatility in costs. In a drier year, if for example, if we decided that we didn't want more than 100 acre feet, ultimately, I think what drives this whole program, and I didn't want to take this much time, and I apologize, but you know me, I love talking about this stuff. Our county has quite a bit of excess allocation, so we've got a commodity. Santa Barbara County has a 45,000 acre foot contract and 43,000 acre feet of contracts. So they've only got a 2,000 acre foot, or a 5% drought buffer and a 25% delivery year. They're hurting for certain. And I think this is one of the things that's being promulgated, is to work with CCWA to come up with a consistent methodology where San Luis Obispo County can help out Santa Barbara County during these types of situations. And that's kind of what's driven the timing of this is Santa Barbara County's needs to secure their water supply in a delivery year such as we're facing. Because if you got 42,000 acre feet of contracts, and suddenly, the city of Santa Barbara, city of Santa Maria, da da da, instead of getting 42,000, they're getting 10,000, and they're in pretty bad shape.
With these dire comments, can we foresee an increase in our water rate just for the water because of the potential drought and lack of water coming in our direction?
No.
Okay. That was a good answer.
I like that
answer.
Is
there any talk about getting going again on the peripheral canal? Because with these court judgments, it only proves that they should have built the original, should have built it in the first place, which they planned on. But
I can't speak to that. But it does seem with the environmental issues in the Delta, with the documented condition of the levee system throughout the Delta and the San Joaquin Valley, there has been discussion on the statewide level about a facility to bypass the Delta.
Not the peripheral canal,
but a device, a different name for the same thing.
A different name.
Right.
Same thing with a different name, you mean?
Yes.
Are you accepting questions on other matters?
Or always.
Are you going to continue
always,
right
sir.
Through the report, Mr. Chair? How are we doing this?
Well, the idea is that only matters you think are salient and timely for tonight, and then likewise from the staff to talk from this person. Matters they want to highlight. If you stop the methodical going through the report, but picking out
your microphone.
Yeah. Well, I'll start over. The question is, where do we proceed through the report? And the process is that either board members raise things they think are important and salient to be pursued, or at least. Explained or highlighted to the public out of the report, and likewise staff would pick those things they wanted to make sure people were aware of currently. And we've just been discussing something that I think gives us a good background for what will continue to come up as all these changes do come up in the allocations. And it happened, we started with the board instead of the staff. Tonight we'll just continue that way.
I just had one more question, though, before you left
okay.
the issue. And this, because we've been talking about upgrading the desal plant, and now I can certainly understand why we're talking about that because of this allocation being so low. Are we talking about upgrading it to have additional capacity, or are we just talking about upgrading it so that it's going to continue to work well?
And deal with the groundwater.
Well, and that's the critical component. When we pursued not only the construction but the environmental analysis and the formal permitting of the desalter, it was to provide, to augment our water production capabilities by converting seawater to drinking water quality. What we have been faced with over the last couple of years, most acutely, is the degradation of the local groundwater. To the point where, obviously, in 2006, we had a bad situation. So what we're proposing to do is to install an energy recovery system to retain the same seawater conversion capacity that we have now, but to increase the efficiency of the operation to reduce the electrical costs primarily, and then to also have specialized facilities installed to treat the groundwater so that the facility would then serve two masters. It would augment our supply by converting seawater, and would also clean up the existing Morrow groundwater. So while it was conceived that in the event of some shortage that the desalter would augment the groundwater, it now needs to not only augment the groundwater but clean up the groundwater. So that's the parallel paths that we're working on. Bless you.
Thank you. Got it.
Okay, if I may, I have a couple of more quick questions, please. Now that the design changes have been completed on the roundabout, how major are they, and will we be losing any sidewalks, driveways, and or trees?
Actually, I did have a quick question regarding the water. When do you think the council would potentially be making a judgment on this?
There's the agenda for the January 14th meeting is completely full, and we cannot get on that meeting, leaving
availability for the council during the decision-making process, and when would it be released?
We anticipate that the CLE study would be released sometime after the next council meeting, probably around the middle of January, and we'd be bringing it through this board. Probably in several meetings.
So the council would probably have that study available when they make this decision?
Well, we intend to give them the outline and an executive summary, if you will, a summary of the findings, but not do, you know, it's a fairly intensive report, and we want to give them the salient points without taking them through a multi-hour presentation. Until such time as it can come through this board. This is a really good venue for this sort of analysis to come through before it goes back to council. But we want to brief them on where we stand before it goes public.
Thank you. Reiterate the question. Now that the design work on the roundabout has been completed, are we looking at any major changes, loss of sidewalks, driveways, or trees? Or,
well, the design isn't actually complete. We hired a firm, a nationally recognized expert, to do some to prepare a modification. They have completed the preliminary analysis, and we have shipped that off to our existing design firm for them to prepare the construction plans. So really what we have is a preliminary geometric layout. There are some differences. If you can visualize, the center of the roundabout is shifted maybe 10 feet to the northwest, kind of away from the AM/PM and towards the mobile station. As we discussed, there were concerns about the entry angles and the approach speeds. As far as we know that a lot of the sidewalks will have to be removed and replaced, and some of the hardscapes redone. As far as precisely what will there be trees impacted, where, we don't have that yet. Like I said, all we have is the preliminary design. Today I shipped it electronically down to our design firm in Santa Barbara, and they'll be working on those plans, and we should see those in a couple of weeks. We should start to see how we certainly... That one of the tasks that we want to make sure we do is to minimize the disruption, particularly to, there's a couple of large mature eucalyptus trees on the Morrowbie Boulevard frontage that we want to preserve. The driveway accesses to the gas stations and to the local businesses we want to preserve. So we want a lot of things out of this design.
Should we recommend having another public hearing just so that the public can become refreshed and express concerns, if any, due to the new design changes?
The council has asked for the item to be presented to them before we hit the ground. So,
as a public hearing?
That I don't know. It was the mayor asked if we could make a presentation, and I said yes.
Would it be prudent for this board to recommend that we have a public hearing?
That's up to you.
How does the board feel about that? Recommending to the council that council have this presentation as a public hearing when it comes before them.
I would think it would depend on how many changes are from the original. If there's no significant changes from the original and there's already been a public hearing, why would you do it again?
Because it's being moved 10 feet, and that is, to me, a major change. That's not significant. And there were people who were quite concerned about the placement of this roundabout, and I think it's only prudent and fair to them to give them an opportunity if they so feel it. And it doesn't hurt to make it a public hearing. If nobody is concerned, nobody will be there, and the hearing will be public anyway. I'm just requesting that the opportunity exists, and I would like this board to recommend that the opportunity be acted upon, if so warranted by the council. And if I have no support for that, that's fine too.
Is that something that we can actually do within the director's report?
We can recommend to the council an action. Whether they want to act upon it is up to them. But I don't think we, as a board, are in a position where we can't make a recommendation. At least as I understand it.
It's clear we can make the recommendation if we wish. Should initiate something without some basis. Initiate even saying this should be a public hearing. Because although we want public input, government process has to move on. And I would support something that said, whereas there are possible changes, which the detail of which will be known after this meeting, when the report from whatever the expert is received, we ask that the board agenda, city council, hold this as a public item if there are changes that relate to previous public comments. Now, we'll have to figure that down, or I can write that. But the idea is we're aware, we may be more aware than you are. That's the background, the history of it, that there may be changes. And these changes are meaningful in terms of previous public testimony. And if that's the case, you really need a public hearing.
That's my point. I think the changes are significant. And I think a vast majority of the public is not aware that these design changes have taken place, which is why we don't see anybody from the public. Everybody is assuming the roundabout is just going in as it was originally designed. And now that there are, in my mind, significant changes.
Most people don't know what the particular details were in the first place, and they won't know what the details are
Regardless.
Until they drive on it.
Regardless.
If they know it then.
Regardless. I still think, as a government body, we are entitled to alert the public to information that they might need in which to voice an opinion if they so desire. But if we don't give them the information, if we don't give them the opportunity to participate, then what good as a commission or a board do we serve?
We serve the board in all the way. We serve at the direction of the city council and within our purview the items we have raised. The items that we have raised. And I think, and this has happened before on the board, before you can't, we're here, where there would be a member of the board who had studied something more and felt very, okay, use the word passion. I think there's more than passion because you put some thought into it. You know, it isn't. And we said that properly is something you address to the city council either by letter or presentation. Because I can't, based on, which is nothing, and it's only nothing because we haven't scheduled it and discussed it, can't say, gee, hold the hearing because there's changes significant to other people. I can only say, if there are changes that are relevant or significant, you should hold the hearing, although I could support that, but they already know that. See?
I'm merely asking that we recommend the City Council have a public hearing on the matter. If they choose not to have a public hearing, that's their prerogative.
Yeah, but I'm not willing to recommend that because I also believe that once decisions are made, that you have to move on. Otherwise,
but the decision has been altered.
Yeah. Well.
All right. Let's vote on it then.
Yeah.
Well, what if we were to say consider a public hearing forum if it appears that the changes have been enough to. Yeah. So the word consider in your motion might make it something.
Excellent. Thank you for the suggestion. I'll make a motion that we as a board recommend to the City Council they consider having a public hearing in the near future on the new design changes to the roundabout.
Should there be
in the new design changes?
Yeah.
Do I have a second?
I would second that.
Thank you.
I like the way you had worded it originally. I liked your additions for original additions.
You mean that where it be?
In other words, if the public had a concern with a particular issue and that issue is being changed, then a new public meeting.
Well,
so you don't go back to ground zero again.
Yep. If I can ask Bill, do you anticipate there will be changes in the setbacks or whatever the issue was?
I'm not sure what you mean by setbacks.
Well, can you ask?
You're going 10 feet north. What else? There's got to be changes.
Rather than setbacks, do you know what changes he's talking about that he's concerned that?
No, I was what I outlined. Is
driveways?
That was more of what I heard. I didn't really hear any that I can recall specific design complaints. During the whole process, I think it was mostly there are people that, frankly, don't like the idea of the roundy. I don't recall, and please, Roger, if I'm wrong, correct me. I don't remember particular design constraints being discussed.
Do you think these adjustments could have an impact on any larger geographic areas on the periphery of the project, i.e., trees, driveways? Or is this shift going to cause a change on the outer elements of the project, not the specific?
Well, I can't say that yet until we get a little more detail.
So I think what we're looking at is Roger's motion would be that if it turns out it has, then we would recommend the council consider this as a public hearing.
You know, we do know that the original design was removing trees on the south side, trees that were planted when AMPM was developed at not all that many years ago. Those trees were slated to be removed. And shifting it to the north gets away from that. But like I said, when you're looking at it, I don't know the precise location of the existing trees on the northwest quadrant relative to the transition lanes. So I just don't have that information at this point. Are there driveways that have to be reconstructed? Yes, there were before.
You referred, made me think I'm going to the dentist, an appliance that's moved. That's your name for that?
Well, that's kind of what I call this thing.
Okay, if we had a name for it, because that seems to be the issue that would force other changes, it would be of concern.
The whole thing's moving.
Pardon?
The whole thing is moving 10 feet.
Yeah, so that's a way of, that's then a way of saying, should the appliance, and give us a nicer name, be moved, there should be a public hearing. Because everything will flow from, then we don't have to get the long thing. It's just because if that's moved, then, and can you give us another name for appliance?
Roundabout.
Thank you. The round, well, that
is, it's actually the center of the roundabout, and I'm calling it just kind of the generic appliance. It's a utilitarian device.
Yeah, the center of the roundabout is shifted, so now I have a good grasp. Any changes will flow from that, and if it forces these other changes, then we encourage them to consider. So,
well, I'm a strong supporter of getting information to the public. I think the public is extremely bright and intelligent in our community. They can think for themselves, but that's only possible if they have information. And I am a very, very strong proponent of getting information out to the public, thus this motion.
Could you read the motion back? Okay.
I have that they recommends the City Council consider holding a public hearing regarding the new design changes of the roundabout. That's what I have written.
All those in favor of voting?
Aye.
How many? Because we're just calling whether we're going to end the discussion or not.
Oh, I thought
that's what all. Is there a third vote to end the discussion?
No, I'm sorry. Continue.
See, so I just wanted to say that given that the only design changes of significance that we know, what's called the design change is really the shifting. You know, why not just make a reference to that's what we're talking about?
You know, if I could jump in, I mean, we're talking about points in the air right now, right? I don't have much to show you that can give you answers. I mean, this is in process.
When do you think you'll get the report back?
I would imagine, and I anticipate. I talked to the design engineer today, who's not going anywhere for Christmas. That we should have a draft of the public improvement schematic, at least, by the middle of January.
By the a suggestion procedurally would be to schedule this and just keep continuing it so we don't lose the
As I have it written, that the City Council consider holding a public hearing for new design changes of the roundabout.
Would you consider hold a public hearing for changes in the placement of the roundabout?
That's what's being addressed.
Well, would that...
Yes.
Well, design change could be what type of sidewalk they're going to use.
We're talking about the design changes that have already been made or are in the process of being made. We don't know what the design changes are, except the roundabout is being moved 10 feet northwest. All I want is the council to consider having a public hearing on that subject. It's up to the council whether or not they have the public hearing. We are just, I'm just asking us to merely recommend they consider it. For the sake of getting information, new information, out to the public that was concerned about the roundabout in the first place. Call the question, please.
All those who are in favor of voting?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm personally not voting because I think that we need to see the design changes. I just feel like we're putting the cart before the horse. I feel like when you conceptualize a project and you get the public to buy in and you have your public hearing, you provide as much information as available at that time. You don't come out with the exact layout of the project because it's just not possible when you're at that conceptual stage. And you have the conceptual public buy-in to the project. I just think that we should hear the details further to see if there is a significant change before we jump the gun to tell the council that they should consider another public meeting. There may be another way of getting the information out to the public rather than having a public meeting. We may even be able to be the body that provides the information by having it presented here, and then people can see it on TV, and we could get the information out that way. That's
well, I was
thinking.
I was trying. I didn't know that we were going to see it. I didn't count on staff sending these changes to the PWAB board. So that was why I was recommending that the council have a public hearing, because I don't think we will.
Look, this is an engineering problem, you know. It's highway engineering that decides this thing. And the public doesn't understand that, so a hearing doesn't make any difference.
Wait just a second.
They move it.
Wait a moment. The public,
everyone stop.
No, the public
everyone
isn't.
Everyone stop. Now, that includes you. We don't need to raise our voices to each other and get into...
We can have a debate. I'm not sure we're having.
Have a debate.
I do think the public's entitled to know what is happening in their city, regardless of whether it's an engineering problem. Of course it's an engineering problem. But we, the public, have to live with the consequences of that. And I think we have a right to know how these changes are going to affect us. Granted, we don't know what the changes are at this very moment. Neither does the council, and neither apparently does staff. But at some point, the council will. And at that point, I'm requesting they consider a public hearing. Now, if there's a chance that PWAB may get it before the council does, this motion is moot.
That's what I was trying to achieve with the previous suggestion. So
the motion fails.
Yeah. Well, the point is well taken, just the difference then of how to approach it.
And I don't understand why we would expect that if there were significant changes that we wouldn't see the changes in a meeting.
Yes, especially now.
We might see the changes, but we don't know that the public would have an opportunity to comment on those changes. If it's not a public hearing, it is then new business or old business, and the public doesn't get an opportunity to see the item before they can comment on it. That's the process of a public hearing versus a non-public hearing. But regardless, let us do continue, because I do have another question, and we can change this topic because we could go all night on it. And this one is for Mr. Livick. Recently, Rob, Caltrans cut down a few trees, very healthy, very dominant cypress trees between the high school and the Cloisters area. And I was wondering, one, does Caltrans honor a replacement program? And two, are they aware of our concern for the need of an urban forest management plan? And if not...
Is it true or not? I haven't heard back from their PIO yet. And when that information is available, I'll let you know, along with the other council people that have asked that question.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And that ends my questions on the director's report. Thank you.
Any others? Items you wanted to
I did want to just take a minute to make two comments. One is we made it through the state water shutdown. Everything worked great. The other is that we have changed our water meter reading scheduling. We did receive a number of complaints that we weren't reading the meters on a kind of a 30-day schedule. And if you just go by the calendar, it's with holidays and everything, it's pretty difficult to do that. So starting in December, we went to the new schedule. We're hitting the meters hard over a two-week period, getting them all done in 2 weeks. So this first month, the bills that you see for December, which you will be getting in January, will likely be for a shorter period of time. It may be 30 days, but it may be 15 days. So be ready for that. But then in subsequent months, it should be much closer, well, maybe not much closer, but appreciably closer to 30-day intervals from here on out. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, I think now we're back to old business. And first is the agenda work plan. And I actually think the other two were placeholders, and we can get through everything in the next 10 minutes or so. It's quite clear that we want to move to the queue. Everyone, I think, agreed. A presentation, which I titled Morro Bay Beautiful, History and Current current Programs and Projects. And it's just... who wants to take the responsibility to be in contact with them when a convenient time is?
I can do that.
Yeah, and that was just in time enough before the agenda to knowing. And it's up to you and Dan and Noah know the publicity list if they want the publicity that they'll be giving the presentation. And that can't be done at the last minute. So their presentations, I think our experience has been that they can almost be worked in on any meeting because they haven't been excessively long. Then I would ask how best to do this. That I think, based on the previous discussion, we want to have an item called the design change. Design changes to roundabout, and but I would put that in the queue. There's rather than doing it, continuing it every time. Just that when the agenda, if this makes sense, Rob or Bill, when we do the agenda, the first couple months, it's actually 2 weeks before the 10 days before the meeting. If you know you have something, some new information or the report, then we can put it on the agenda. And if they haven't gotten you the information in time to put on the agenda, because it'll have to be, or in other words, we can put it on and then say, well, we're going to continue it, or there's nothing. So we'd put the design change to the roundabout in the queue with that. That's sort of a, and since you're just relaying what's in a report given to you, I don't think it falls under generating new work.
Oh, no, it wouldn't be generating new work. I mean, this is in the course of duties.
Yeah, okay.
And like I said, I want to make sure that the information that I bring forth to you is complete.
Yeah, fine. If it's, of course, great, yeah. In that, then I know which side to put it on. And then the point of... So there's both of those changes. And then the point of putting the urban water management plan was to, as all the business was, it's really a continuation. And I spoke with Noah. The purpose was to maybe identify another couple areas of focus that could be presentations and discussions. And then to explain the context, new business is really a revisit the urban forest management plan to discuss that the Okay, can we do anything with the mapping in the absence?
Mascadero's proposing now. Mm-hmm. Our tiers are every single billing unit costs more than the previous one. So that's the most aggressive tiered structure.
There's no threshold.
Okay, so currently we do have a good incentive program in place.
Oh, and that was set up in 1995.
Okay.
That's the rate structure we still have.
Excellent. Okay.
So,
and then along those lines, really the next step I thought would be potentially looking at options that we have for groundwater outreach. We're discussing the challenge of our groundwater supply and quality of that supply, and just basically doing some brainstorming, some idea generating of things that we might be able to do to be active on that level, to really make sure that we're doing everything we can that we're aware of to make sure that our groundwater doesn't continue to go downhill, and see if there are any things that we can do to maybe help reverse that trend and bring back the quality, if possible.
Yeah, you're,
seemed
you're
like a good discussion.
Then suggesting a topic that sounds like conservation and improvement in groundwater supply and quality.
Yeah, and I think it's definitely tied to the Cleith report. So really that would be dovetailed along with that report whenever that is brought to our board.
So is that okay for a title? That would be the folks, like it was conservation efforts in general. This is groundwater quality conservation and groundwater conservation and improvement in quality. Mm-hmm. Well, water conservation is what we had across the board, and it's you're focusing just on groundwater is what you wanted.
Yes.
And so
there would be a discussion.
Yeah, it's a discussion of
which
groundwater.
Which probably be part of the report, but just to make sure that we have that opportunity to
that's
brainstorm.
Fine.
So
just call it groundwater?
Sure.
Quality?
Yeah, groundwater quality and enhancement, potentially.
Mm-hmm. You know, kind of one of the terms that we're using hesitantly these days in this area is management.
We're
heading for groundwater management.
Yeah.
In management grounds, okay.
Which we
that would
there's an item that I would like to get on the queue if we get around to it here.
Okay. To finish, this is in the queue till I hear you're ready.
Yes, and that will be dependent on the report. To follow up just as an announcement to the board members, from our discussion last meeting with Slow Green Build, we had a motion to send a letter to the council about our support of that program and our continued our city's continued engagement with the program. So I have a draft that I'm planning on sending out to the board following this meeting for you guys' okay before I send it on to the council. Essentially has the minutes and then a brief introduction about the presentation.
Okay.
But I will be sending that on to you.
Just send it to everyone, and if you have to use your judgment when you get the feedback.
Yeah. If there is any significant feedback or response that of discomfort with what I've written, at that point we'll need to do some massaging and get consensus.
We will, because we'll get into Brown Act problems if we start back and forth here to do it this way.
You're right.
Yeah.
You know, but one round is okay. You're just saying, what do you think? People give you your thing and you either go with it or
and
not.
If it,
once you get the input, either make that decision. If it's just syntactical, who cares? If you think it's really someone saying, well, shouldn't we emphasize this or that? It gets into problems. But I would rather you send it to everyone, send it back to you, and you just use your judgment. Because once you get them all, you can't talk to any of us again.
Yeah.
You know?
Thanks for that.
Bill, you wanted to
say
the key?
Back in 1996, there was much discussion about getting public access television on the cable, and the city meetings on the cable, which resulted in our photographing these things. There was a series of county meetings in which I represented the city on those meetings, in which we were working countywide to get gut charter to, it was put the city meetings, televising them, as well as installing, hooking up the library and various sites in Washington to get the FCC to require the dish company to do what the what they've required the cable companies to do.
I think it's the reason that they're not is because the dish, the cable company, Charter in our case, has the contract. The dish doesn't.
They have the contract with, but.
But I think it's a subject worth discussing. I would 100% support putting it on our agenda and having a discussion. I personally, if I could get Channel 20 on Dish, I'd be on Dish in a New York second.
So would a lot of us.
Yes, and I've heard this from council people all the way down to little old us. So I think it's a topic that warrants a discussion, and I support it. Thank you, Bill.
But we can't do it ourselves.
No, but I think outlining that kind of thing, we can give a little more thought with time as to, and maybe who we can get to come talk to us. But the topic, all I want to put in the queue is a title for the topic. It's is it expanded expanded public access to public meeting broadcast? Is that what we're talking
satellite
about?
Public access television to
satellite.
The dish, the satellite programming, yes. The satellite providers.
Okay. Public.
Whatever.
Public meeting broadcast to.
Satellite.
Satellite. Yeah, that's not a proprietary. To satellite.
See, this all
TV.
Comes under the FCC. They can do it.
Yep. Well, you got the idea here. Okay, and then finally, and this can be continued, but the Urban Forest Management Plan was put here because we were hoping we would hear from the City Council, which we haven't.
No, we haven't. And I asked a council person what the status was, and they didn't know. They hadn't yet to receive any the letter they received, but they haven't taken any action yet. I believe that's where it stands. Apparently not a high priority item, but I'm staying on top of it behind the scenes kind
okay.
of thing. And so
see, is there the one thought in thinking about it and not hearing that we got a letter, there's all that work done completing the mapping, and maybe some thought should be given, and we can have this not continue it, but anticipate, put it back in the queue as an update so that we're planning again to do something in the on the forest management plan. And maybe we can think of something, even if they don't do anything, take another stab at it by seeing if there's something we can cook up based on the fact that the mapping is done.
I, without the city's follow-up on our letter, I don't know what action we can legally take. But I understand what you're saying, and I agree
maybe
with you.
Maybe we can think of something.
Think about it.
What if we were to have Bill had suggested a couple of people that have been involved with similar efforts in the past as far as planting and the urban canopy management. We could see about potentially having one of them come and present about how they got the process started and what seems successful, and you know, continue that the education component of it anyway as far as getting some more outreach and some more ideas.
Well, I think there's the feeling, I think, on the board is to not let it go, even though it's a tough patch right now. And so I think we leave it on the queue as committed to hold another hearing on it.
I would like that because, one, as you all have mentioned, it keeps it in front of the public and keeps it in the public. Yeah. Even though we've updated the map has changed. Trees are still coming down, and I don't know if they're being replaced.
And it's hard to support keeping the map current if there's no support for the next step. Now I understand.
Correct. Thank you.
Okay, let's see. That's okay. Now, I think we come to adjournment. I'll just announce now that I have other commitments for the next meeting, so I won't be here. You'll be here, but I'll help with this.